Drama in Siman Shin Pei Beis Sif Aleph teaches us Yisrael Shehisker or Hishel Beis La'akum. If a Jew rented out an apartment to an Akum, Eina Oisalof. Even though, as we've been discussing, we spoke extensively in our previous year, that an Akum who has an apartment amongst the Jews would create an issue, says the remark that if the Jew is the landlord and he owns an apartment and he sent it and he rented it to an Akum, Yisrael Shehisker or Hishel Beis La'akum Ein Oisor Lof, there is no problem. The Lehishel or Hishel Beisoy Kedei Shiasor Lof. When the Jew rented the apartment to the Akum, his intention was that the Akum should not be able to create an issue that we should not be able to carry in this house because of his present. And really, the Rama is based on a Rashba. The Rashba in the Torah Sabayis says, Mashal Maskel Goy, if somebody lent or rented an apartment to an Akum, Yirali Shein Oyser. Lefish Afil Diras HaKnuyolo Ein Adira. The Rashba's opinion is very clear that the deer of an Akum is not an issue. El Gzeirihi Kizgozru Shle Yisrael Dorim Ovilma Mamasov. It's a special rule that Chazal wanted us to stay away from them. Vein Dakla Shi Yisrael Lahashkul Lahaska Deer Lagoy Betoichet Serevi Yidarimai. So the Rashba says a very bechidish. The Rashba says that the entire reason Chazal made this whole din of Schiris is to keep us away from living with an Akum. But when we're living in the same house as the Akum, nobody's going to want to rent it to the Akum anyway in such a house. And therefore, Chazal saw no need to make the rule of Schiris. So, it turns out, we have a very big kula, that if a Jew owns an apartment house, and he rented an apartment to an Akum, we don't have to do Schiris, because the Akum lives here because the Jew owns the apartment house, and when he rented the apartment, that was the Jew's intention. So I saw that Rabelski Shlita quotes Ramosha, who says that this whole heter only applies if a Jew owns the building by himself. But if the Jew owns the building as part of a corporation, so the Rashba, whose whole point was that a Jew who owns a building doesn't want to rent out an apartment in the building where he lives, so therefore that's only if he owns the building by himself, not if he owns it as a part of a partnership. Furthermore, as we just read the words of the Rashba says, because I, the landlord, I'm not going to want to rent out l'chatchila an apartment on Akum if I'm living in the house. So there are many paiskim, therefore, that say that the kula of the Rama is only if the landlord is living in the house. But if the landlord is not living there, then the kula of the Rama would not be applicable. And that is indeed the opinion of the Chemed Moshe, the Birka Yosef, the Prima Godim, all agree that that would be an issue. The Bir Halacha, however, in Siman Shin Pei Beis, Divrei HaMaskel Einem Oyser, quotes the Chaya Adam, whose opinion is that even if the Jew is not living there, the Jewish landlord is not living there, we still could be Mekel. And so too is the opinion of the Chazon Ish. And again, it's very possible, as we discussed in our previous year, that this machlokes is connected to the fundamental shaila of what was the purpose that Chazal said we should do schiris. If the purpose of schiris was to serve as a separation, so then we could understand the opinions that say that that's only, and therefore here where we don't have to worry about it, that's only if the landlord is actually living there. If, however, we learn that schiris means a real schiris, If schiris means a real schiris, therefore it makes no difference if the landlord is living here or the landlord is not living here. The fact that he rented the apartment to the Akum with a limited renter, with a limited liability, that he still has some sort of a connection here. Why does he still have a connection here? Because he lent, because that's how he rented it out. Schiris means schiris, and that's this type of schiris, and therefore it makes no difference if he's living here or not. The Prima Gadim asks a question. He says, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Pei Dalet, Sif Beis, teaches us, Anshe Chayel HaMelech Shenichnasu Beis HaYehudim, the army took over the homes of the Jews, Bein B'chazok Bein B'rotzen, whether they did it by force or not by force, Im Yesh L'Balabatim B'Ois M'Koyim Shenichnasu Akum Kalim, Sh'os L'Tatlam B'Shabbos, if they still have Kalim, if they still have items in those homes that remain there, Shabbos, Ein Ois M'Leim. So we see from here, says the Prima Gadim, that the only time we could be lenient is if the landlord still has kalim in those apartments. So the simple answer is that there's a difference between the army and when a landlord rents an apartment. When a landlord rents an apartment, so he's doing a rental deal. And his rental deal with an Akum is that he should not cause an issue for Shabbos. Here we're talking about an army. I didn't rent to the army my apartment. The army entered to my apartment. The only way that apartment can still be considered my apartment is if I left I left Kalim or not. So at this point, we're up to is as follows. If the landlord rented an apartment in an apartment building that he owns by himself and that he has an apartment in that home, it seems we could be makel. If he doesn't live in that home, so now we have a machloikis hachroinim, and if he owns it by an if he owns it in partnership, we have an opinion that that wouldn't be, we couldn't be makel. The Gra says a very interesting chumrah. The Gra says that if the landlord rented the apartment to the Akum, and even if he lives in that home, and even if he owns that apartment house all by himself, if he has a lease with the Akum that he can't remove him, then this kula wouldn't apply. The Gra actually is always machmer in a situation where there's a difficulty in removing the Akum from the apartment. The Elio Rabba says that also we could only be makel if when the landlord rented it to the Akum tenant, he had in mind that the Akum should not be able to create an issue for Hilchus Erevin, and it has to be a situation where he lives there. The Mishnah Brura also agrees with the Gra in Simen Shin Pei Beis Sif Katan Zayin. He says that only if the Jewish landlord can remove the Akum any time, can we be lenient? In the Bi'a Alocha, the Remaskel Eina Oyser, he says, if there is no other option, we could be makel if the Jew is living in that home, even in that house, even if he can't remove him because there's a lease. Ramosha in Chelek Aleph, in the Gris Moshe Chelek Aleph Simen Kufmem Aleph, says that if the landlord has in the apartment kalim that he owns, that is something that we could be make with. And therefore, if the landlord owns the refrigerator or the stove that is in the apartment, then we could be more makel. However, the Chazon Ish says, and that's based on the halacha that we quoted from Siman Shin Pei Dalet, Sif Beis, where if the Yisrael was displaced from his apartment, but the Akum is still there, but the Akum take over, but if the Yisrael's Kalim are still there, that solves the issue. So Ramosha says, if the landlord has Kalim in the apartment, then we could be Mekel. The Chazon Ish, however, says, just because I, the landlord, have Kalim, refrigerator, stove, that wouldn't be a reason to be Mekel. Because those Kalim, even though they belong to the landlord, they're really there on behalf of the tenant. And therefore, we can't rely on those type of Kalim. Only Kalim that are there for the landlord's benefit, therefore, we could be Mekel. This question comes up. Many times, people have, in a bungalow colony or in a camp, they have non-Jewish workers, and they have an apartment, a room, which they give to the Akum. And the question is, does that create an issue? So the Paiskim say, if the Akum lives off what the camp director or bungalow colony owners tell him, and they give him this room, and they could take him out from the room. Furthermore, as we just discussed, if the furniture in the room is owned by the Jewish owner, so as we just said, we could be more makel. Furthermore, the Paiskim say, if this room in which the Akum is, the Akum could be removed from that room anytime. Therefore, it's not considered like it's his room, and therefore we could be more makel, according to some Paiskim, even Schiris would not be required. As we discuss the halachas of Schiris, the question that comes up in this discussion is what kind of schiris should be done. Because if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, if we look in the Mishnah Brura, as we have been discussing in Siman Shin Pei Beis, we discover that there are two issues. You could have schiris that is a schiris forever, or you could have a schiris that has a term. So it's interesting to point out that the Mishnah Berurah paskens that we should not make a schiris for more than 20 years. Because if it's going to be a schiris that's going to last for more than 20 years, it doesn't look like a real schiris. It takes away from the entire seriousness of this entire transaction, the Chazal required a schiris. Dorach HaShulchan, that's the opinion of Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Pei Beis, Sif Katan Mem Ches, quoting the Shaul Sechuvis Beis Shloima. Dorach HaShulchan speaks about a schiris for 50 years. But again, also, the schiris should not be for more than 50 years. But one thing is very clear if one learns the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah here in Siman Shin Pei Beis. There's two options on how to make a schiris. You can make a schiris that has a term to it, or you can make a schiris that has no term to it. You can make a long-term schiris. It's quite obvious in the Paiskim that it's much better to make a schiris that has a term to it. And as we just learned, it shouldn't be according to Mishnah Berurah, past 20 or 50 years. Because the halacha is, if you make an open-ended tzchiris, the halacha is, the akum could back out of the tzchiris any time. If, however, you make a tzchiris that has a term to it, then the akum cannot back out. The Paiskim say that the first Shabbos, he can't back out because the tzchiris has to have some value. But after the first Shabbos, he can be chayzer. Furthermore, even the Machlokes, Taz and Magen Avraham, the Akum gives back the money, can he back out of the tzchiris? The Taz says that if he gives back the money, he could back out of the tzchiris. But the opinion of the Magen Avraham, and that is the opinion accepted by the Mishnah Berurah, is that if it was a tzchiris with a term, even if he gives back the money, the halacha is he can't back out. Similarly, there's a very serious shaila. If you did tzchiris with the akum, and the akum died, or there are new Yisraelim that come to this home, can you do tzchiris? Do you have to do a new tzchiris? So again, the Paiskim say, the Shulchan Aruch says, that if the tzchiris was done for a term, and the guy dies, even he has yarshim, since the akum, as we've been learning, when it's a term tzchiris, can't back out in the middle of the term, so too is the halacha that his yarshim cannot back out of the tzchiris. It's a machlokes, but this is the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins. Whereas if it would be an open-ended tzchiris and the akum passed away, even if the yarish says, I'm satisfied with the tzchiris that was done by the person who I inherited from, a new tzchiris would have to be done. Similarly, if the tzchiris was done with a term, and in the middle of the term, the akum rented his apartment to another akum, it still doesn't change the halacha. The term remains the term, and the halacha is that the tzchiris remains for the duration of that term, even if it's not the original akum from whom you did the tzchiris. However, once the term of the tzchiris ends, you have to make a new tzchiris, and not only must you make a new tzchiris, but you also have to make a new eruv, because the original eruv v'chatzeris were connected to that tzchiris. And only as long as the tzchiris is effective, is the eruv effective. Once the tzchiris is no longer effective, the eruv is also no longer effective.